This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
You're tuning into the online broadcast network AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Okay, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Downton Abbey. This is the final series.
Yes.
And we're in episode 7 here. Lots to cover, lots to cover. I'm John Comerford, joined in the studio by Tamara Burr.
Hey everybody.
And Courtney Stewart.
Hello, hello.
And also a bottle of Cabernet.
Yes.
So that's who's joining us this week. Back from a little bit of a sabbatical.
We found the corkscrew.
Exactly. All right, so I was excited. We've had a lot this year. We've had a fox hunt this year. We've got this particular episode. We got the car race.
Yes.
That was kind of exciting. I really wanted to start with that because I wanted to just acknowledge David Evans and then Graham Frake, who David was the director and Graham was the DP on this.
Mm-hmm.
I love their shots.
Was
I mean,
beautiful.
It was, yeah, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, and okay, so you guys geeked out on the costumes. I thought the cars were amazing.
Go for it, John.
Yeah.
I can talk about the pretty colors.
You can have
the paint job.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the cars and that they like run to them to get into them.
Yeah.
And that was exciting.
I thought that was such an interesting little add of texture.
Yeah.
Added texture.
It's like cross country meets race cars, all kinds of
great. Well, I thought a number of these, they spent the money for the cars, though, so they showed them off. At least they, mm-hmm. They covered them well, so you got to see them. And then they had great aerial shots, the drones or whatever. And I'm going, I just like that they're doing things like that. And then I thought it was edited well because it was really sharp. Mm-hmm. The music was great. I'm going, wow, this is quite exciting for Downton Abbey.
At least one of our viewers was like, oh my God, that shooting was so awful.
Was
I can't remember
awful?
Who it was. Yeah, they just didn't like it.
Oh.
But
I can see that, but I'm just saying for Downton, it was like, oh, whenever we do one of those, when we're out the Fox Hunts or whatever, they do try to cover it as best they can. I thought they did a good job.
And you might as well. You've got beautiful English countryside.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I've had like 3 sips.
Yeah.
but one of the things I wanted to mention was... I completely forgot.
Yeah, and it's 3 sips in.
Oh,
all right.
My God.
Okay, but before we even got
to the James Bond music. The James Bond music.
Oh, right,
music,
so you had mentioned that. But they didn't have it in this one, did they?
They did. It was the same music.
Was it?
It was the same music. And it seemed really out of place before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that they brought it back because, you know, then it gave it a little context. But I still didn't enjoy it. Yeah, it was just a little much for me.
That's great.
I liked it. I thought it was good.
I enjoyed it.
So, but before we got there, we got the reactions. Henry, kind of a bold move. He invites the Crawleys.
Yes, he did.
And, you know, of course.
Over to Brookline.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And Lord Grantham and Tom are agog. They can't wait to go. And, you know.
Tom, agog. I swear, was practically drooling.
Yeah, he really wanted to go.
He was so happy.
Yeah, exactly.
And he got to touch the cars and, like, do things. And he felt all special.
Sure, put a wrench in one of them.
And they were like, ooh, we're going to have to keep you. And he's like, ooh, don't tempt me. It's so cute.
Mm-hmm.
It's really precious.
It was really cute. And.
Really precious.
I mean, you know, it's think about it. It's kind of the perfect combination for him.
Yeah.
Going from, you know, mechanic to aristocrat. an aristocratic mechanic.
Kind of. Yeah.
There you go.
Aristocrat. Yeah, sure. I know.
And nice little new lady.
You know.
Yeah, no, it's great. And you know, he's even said that to Laura, the editor.
Yes.
That, you know, she's the one with breaking
quirky
ground.
Quirky and kind, and how they end up walking alone together.
Oh,
interesting.
Look how cute they look together.
Lovely.
That's great. And it was okay. So we had everybody's different reactions. Cora did not want to go. Didn't want to pack clothes for it. Mary was reluctant. Edith didn't care as long as Bertie was there. So we have everybody, you know, for different reasons. But they all got to go because it's Mary's new boyfriend.
It's Mary's new boo.
Yeah. So they go. And then they show up. And I thought that was interesting, too, because then they have, apparently, there's a spread there, which they don't usually have. They just have a greasy sandwich and a soda pop or whatever it is.
Spread.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Quite a spread with, like,
finger sandwiches
to pick up the
finger
sandwiches.
And yeah.
That's how the fancy people live.
But that was fun to see, and it was good to see everybody show up there. I was surprised that Edith invited Laura, the editor, but you have to meet the family.
Like, come on. Well, and I think maybe they're setting up for Tom to have a romance.
Yeah, I thought that's what they were doing.
What,
absolutely.
The one more episode that we have?
Yeah, like, who knows? We
don't you start with that.
Do you think she's going to die, ladies? Is that, is that yours or your prediction?
No, no. Okay, we'll talk about death in a little while.
Yes, we will. All right, but... So I thought the beauty shots were great.
Right.
Anyway, but and I also liked the way they handled the crash. They showed it off camera,
yeah,
which is
thank
terrific.
You. That was so glad you brought
please
that
do not ruin any of those cars.
Yeah. Well, first of all, can't afford it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Second of all, you don't want to see that.
No. And,
you know,
but
the other thing that I thought was great about that was how fiery that crash
yes
was. I mean, you know, there's still with race cars, there's very little around the drivers.
Especially
but
then.
Now we have, you know, Nomex suits and things like that.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, these guys in like goggles and a cotton jumpsuit.
Yeah.
You know, and the fire extinguisher, which was like
the
no
worst
bigger that's than this wine bottle.
It was literally that big. It was like the things you get when you're a kid, like playing in the yard.
Not even a super shooter.
I literally wrote worst fire extinguishers ever.
But that's what they had. That's what made it so exciting. So, and then especially when it happened, and Tom right away, Bertie, come with me, and Mary, you stay here, and you know, all that stuff.
Let's go. Yeah,
I loved that moment of the scene because it's incredibly, you know, energetic and lively, and you're scared, and who is it going to be? And everybody like fell into place, and we got to see who they were. So Mary was like, I can't stay.
Yeah. Yes,
right.
And what about Edith trailing out, chasing after
yeah,
Mary?
Yeah,
like, oh, that was a nice little moment.
Because she has a soul. Yeah. Mary is the one that's been questionable.
Yeah. And Lord Grantham ready to go. Oh, you're not going anywhere, buddy.
Yeah, I love
Cora.
Yeah, yes. Hold your horses,
yeah,
man.
Nice.
Anna running to
Anna
go because
ran.
She's
oh
got to go take care of Mary. Mary, because she knows, because she's her closest confidant, and
but
and
Bates not being able to because now he has his limp.
His limp doesn't work.
He's limping again.
So, of course, and Baxter has to chase after. So, but it was it was nice to know.
The moment that like really caught me was Anna saying, "Never mind, I have to go."
Right.
I was like,
but I also really appreciated Henry diving into the fire, just trying to save his.
He's
family.
Trying to pull his friend out of the car,
and then pulling after the pull.
And I was
him
like,
out.
"Please don't let the car blow up."
Yeah, did anybody? He's did anybody for a second think that he was really going to be hurt? Of course, it had to be,
Charlie,
because you can't kill another love interest in a car wreck.
Mm-hmm. No, it would be. Yeah.
But it was still kind of. Still,
I was thinking maybe he would get like burned up, and then she would have to love him anyway, and see how that worked out.
I'm going to say
of course,
no.
Courtney went there. It's either death
being
or
that
mayhem.
She could drop him in his emotional state. If he was burned up, she would definitely drop
all right
him.
The moment with Edith and Mary, you know, when they clutched each other, it was short, but in that incredibly short moment, it was really touching, right?
Mm-hmm. So it made you think that
then we saw the coming.
Exactly. I'm going, should I go there now? Well, yeah, we can't avoid it because, she's a...
we all saw the coming out.
Exactly.
Wait.
A scheming bitch.
Scheming bitch.
Scathing words.
Yes.
About a scheming bitch. Okay, but anyway. But prior to that.
Nasty, jealous.
Nasty, jealous.
Scheming bitch.
Yeah, so we know that's coming up next episode. But it was nice to have those moments, and even as fleeting as they are, it does show something.
Don't you agree, though, as a like a writer-director? Mm. You know, John's a writer-director. In like 10 seconds, they showed each person.
Yeah, it was nice.
You know,
really
and
good.
Identifying who they are and what they're about.
Yeah, and catching it all, too, because it would have been easy not to have those moments because we don't have time, but they took the time to do it, so I appreciated that.
Really liked it.
Yeah.
Really liked it.
It also set up, you know, the whole thing with... Mary and Henry. Now, obviously, you know, she was reluctant to go, but she went.
Yes.
And of course, you know, for many reasons. Tom prodding her all along. So then this horrible event happens, and of course Henry's feeling, he's distraught, he feels guilty, that, you know, it's my fault,
yes,
did I push him, and you know, I thought Mary was terrific in that scene.
She did great.
Yeah, of course you pushed, but he pushed you, yeah, exactly.
We pushed each other, that's what you guys do, and it's okay, it was great.
Right, because I mean, quite frankly, you know, she's an incredibly pragmatic woman, she's been through a lot in her life, you know, everybody, in that time, death is kind of a reality.
As opposed to that, well, but you mean more so?
Okay. Yes, because just because of medicine.
Sure.
People did not live to be 101 back then. Mm-hmm.
Unless you're Violet. Will never die. Of course, but I hear what you're saying. Yeah, you know, she was fabulous in that scene. It was well written and it was nicely performed. And then the tragedy of the, you know, back at dinner at Rosamund's house. By the way, let's not forget, he shows up early to Rosamund's the first time, and he shows up early because he's trying to make an impression and say he wants everybody to tell her you'd be mad to let him go.
Right.
And all that stuff. And then, of course, you know, she's just beside herself with this because it's, you know, and I thought Tom was terrific in the scene, but let's get to the fact that he calls in the. And just wants to hear her voice because he wants to, because I can't sleep until I know where we stand, and she, boom, breaks it up.
Because he had that, you know, moment of revelation, moment of clarity.
Sure. Mm-hmm. As that death often does.
Coming close to dying himself.
So she clearly was thinking something in prior scene back on the racetrack.
Yeah, let's not go into any of that stuff now.
So, and Tom does this whole thing about, you know, you're just frightened, as we all are. You're afraid of, you know, getting hurt again, and you're going to be hurt. I'm going to be hurt because being hurt is part of life. But that's no reason to throw away the man that's right for you. So, do you accept that Tom is right? Is it all just because you're being frightened, or is she just being pragmatic? That we, you know, because Anna says, "I don't think your lives fit together." Is it just because she's scared, or is she just being pragmatic?
I think it's both. Mm-hmm. I think it's both because I think she is definitely scared to death, especially after seeing all that again.
And she couldn't even eat.
She couldn't think. It's going to be terrible. But then again, at the same time, like, to give him the no, like, in that moment.
Yeah. Well, she tried not to. She didn't want to do the thing. She didn't want to do
it
on the phone.
But you still, like, if you were just lost and, oh, I'm afraid, I don't know how this is going to work, blah, 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 then maybe she would have kept putting it off.
Yeah, true.
But to just be like, you know what? I know you're down. You just lost your friend. You're probably thinking about suicide yourself in some ways.
Look,
I'm
the Band-Aid's already ripped off. You might as well rip the rest
of
him.
She just, like, stuck the stake in his heart. Like, I don't know.
I think add a little more to his scotch glass. You know, he'll be fine.
Make him jump off a bridge, why don't you? So I feel like that part of it was her back in her pragmatic brain. Like, isn't going to work. Like, there's no way.
But I'm just going
to go ahead and be honest.
I would agree to that. But then they had that moment with Tom, and then you saw her. She didn't look pragmatic at all. She looked completely, I thought she was just scared out of her mind and did not want to have to experience what it might happen. And I thought that,
because she's been through it
exactly.
So hard before.
So, but it didn't seem pragmatic when he starts talking to her, because I think she was held up, you know, she was trying to hold it together, but really I think it was just, she's just scared.
I just want to say Nicole Wolk, who is one of our YouTube followers, said, I think Mary's in one relationship with two men, meaning Henry and Tom.
Oh, sure. Okay.
So Henry is the man that she's emotionally connected to, romantically connected to.
I think romantically.
And Tom is the person who she's kind of partner with.
Right.
I mean, because she's literally partners with him.
Absolutely.
You know, and
has let down her guard with him and really been vulnerable with him.
Emotionally
connected. Exactly. They've both had the loss.
Right. So some people are still saying that they think there's going to be a Brary. Branson and Mary.
They've just played up the brother-sister thing too hard, because that would be way
incestuous. It would just be weird.
Yeah, now. Like, if they had done it when he first came back and, like, whatever, but now they've had so many great moments of, like, brother-sister sibling moment. Oh, yeah, I'm here for you. No, it'll be gross.
Well, and I would like to say that I think that part of the reason why Tom wants him with her is for his own interests, you know?
Yeah. Why Tom wants
Mary with Henry.
To some degree, I would agree, but I think maybe 10%, because I really do think he has Mary's best interests. chart.
Yeah,
I do,
but I think it's clouded a little bit, is what I'm saying. Because
it's comfortable for him too.
It's comfortable for him. It's, and I'm not suggesting that he's
right.
You know, all like
no, no, he's not scheming.
Or,
he's
no.
not scheming.
No, but
interesting. And it also justifies his relationship.
Yeah. He's got a boy crush on Talbot. You know, I mean, his like goof, sweet, but like goofy grin about can I go can I touch your car?
And the arguments he's been making, it really solidifies and justifies his relationship with Sibby, which was
exactly.
real and concrete and all that kind of thing. But also, there's a part of me that I'm going, does she ever going to get the way she is with Tom is the way she can be with these other guys so she can actually have a
but
full
it's
relationship?
Her husband. So even if she gets it here, mm-hmm. it's not always all over because she's still Mary, queen of the castle, and like he's not. Mm-hmm. He drives a car and almost
he's not
died.
Matthew.
Like he's just.
Nobody's going to be
and what
Matthew.
Is he going to do now? Chicken. He's going to keep driving? Like, we've already seen the death, and if he doesn't drive, then what is he going to do? Does he have a job? Like, what else can he do?
Right.
What difference does that make?
So that makes him less of a catch, even less of a catch. She was already concerned about it.
But let's be honest. She said she doesn't want to marry down, but there's no way she was going to marry up because she wants to be the queen of the castle. She doesn't want somebody that's...
She just wants somebody on her level.
Yeah, I'm not sure I believe that. I think she really does want to be...
in charge of everything.
Yes.
Well, she could still marry somebody on her level and be in charge of everything.
Yeah, well...
We all know how that works.
So, okay. All right, well, we won't solve that. I'm sure comments about that.
Probably a more
absolutely.
Already.
But let's move on because we have lots to cover. And we have Edith and the birdie. And
oh,
I was going to say Edith
I'm
and
sorry,
the birdie
just
situation.
One more thing
go
that
ahead.
Nicole said.
Sure.
So she says, if Fellows had given all the Tom and Mary scenes to Mary and Talbot, we would be swooning over them as a couple.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But that's
right?
but that's kind of my point is what when is she going to learn how to do that with somebody that she actually has a romantic interest in?
Right.
Because she's always, you know... Holding that side,
pushing people.
Died.
So what? I get that
part
get
of
over
her
it.
Is still wounded and still delicate.
You are a cold-hearted bastard, John.
No, but my point is, yes, of course you have to get over that. Because I agree with Tom. You're going to have hurt. You're going to have pain. Who doesn't know
that?
That
doesn't make it easier to step
too.
Over the line
know,
and like, put yourself out there again.
It kind of does when it's been 6 years.
Yeah,
or
that's my point.
You
start. Let's go. Start to be brave again.
Don't quote me on the years. Don't send me emails. I know I've got it wrong, all right?
It's just in theory.
It's been a while.
So, exactly.
A while.
It's been a while.
Yeah,
but, you know, she sees her little baby every other day. That reminds her every other day that she used to love somebody.
And the other thing is that, and I've talked to actually friends who've been through this, that Matthew died in the like gorgeous bloom of their love.
Sure.
Like there was no, you know, you annoy
the
me
years.
The way that you grind your teeth at night. You know, they hadn't been through that stuff.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Nothing. but so they hadn't been through any you know, of those kind of long-term marital rough patches that people have.
It was so magical.
Other people have, not me. And so it was like still all magical and everything's idyllic.
Right.
And so the, you know, the past memory of it is something that's, it was already hard to match and it's quadruply hard to match at this point because
clearly.
She's got that, you know,
I can't
haze.
Argue that point. I think you're absolutely right.
And if she's
still
been marinating
going,
in that for 6 years
or
this, like,
whatever.
Beautiful
that,
fantasy.
That's kind of the point.
Been.
Stop marinating. Move on.
Well, she wasn't really allowed to do very much. She only got to have one little fling with somebody. It's not like it's 2015
no,
and she could
wait,
just run
wait,
around.
We've had how many suitors
wanted.
Have we had where she could have?
A bunch.
Yeah.
Plenty.
So, all right. So let's,
but they were
that's
ugly.
Actually, that's the other point that I wanted to make about Tom is that, you know, his big argument for Henry is that he adores Mary. Mm. Quite frankly, she could throw a rock and
find
people
who
would
adore
her.
Which is still kind of beyond me. It's like, why? What the hell?
Because she's fabulous. Yeah.
She is fab.
No. She has moments of fabulous. That's about as much as I can say. I wouldn't call
she's
her fabulous.
She's fabulous and elusive and all that
right.
sexy stuff that you men like.
Yeah, no.
Exactly.
No. That's just trouble.
All right. Move it along, John.
Obviously not John.
No. Just get over yourself. All right. Anyway, moving on.
Move it along.
So Edith and Birdie. I thought that was interesting because here, after this horrible thing happens, they're lying together. I thought it was a nice, nicely blocked
and
staged tableau.
Oh, and yes. That dress. Yes. Okay, did you notice the dress this time, John?
Only because you guys have alerted me to these things. Now I was like, oh yeah, that is nice. Otherwise, it would have gone. Yeah, would not have been.
It was the kind of thing Mary would have worn in the past, and now Edith is wearing it.
But that was a very difficult scene too, because you know, it is tragic, and but she feels, and I love the word she used. She felt with his arm around her, she feels comfortable, which to me harkens back to the automatic feeling she had last when she talked to the other. So I thought that was a nice callback to that. But I understood that is that, you know, it's been a sad, wretched event, and because you're here with me, I've been able to face it. It's like, yeah, okay.
You and me against the world.
Yeah, there's that thing, and then he just says, "I want to be in
part
prison,
of this family,
trapped. Yes. I want to be trapped."
Right.
And he proposes. It's like, whoa, that is a weird proposal.
He's like, "What do you mean? Yeah. You know, I'm mad about you."
Yeah, she's thrilled. She's delighted.
Girl.
Yes.
And she's kind of surprised.
Sad. Yeah,
she's
not the kind of girl
not
that
the kind
men
of girl
go,
that men are mad
go mad
about.
Over. Yeah,
it's like, oh,
it's true.
But and then you should marry him.
Yes.
Yes.
And finally, he says something about Marigold.
Can I bring her along?
Just one little
ward?
Catch.
I got a little,
just
little
one little
something.
Catch. Yeah.
And he's that ward word. Can she be the like family? I don't
that's
know.
What they call them.
You want to bring your ward, your family's ward?
Mm-hmm,
well,
mm-hmm.
I'm the only one that likes her. That's the excuse.
So that's gonna, you know, obviously that's gonna be the wrinkle
it's
there because she's still not fessing up to what everything is.
And then he brings up more kids.
Okay, so the question is, will she say the whole truth, or do you think she's gonna wait until after they're married? And then
Mary's gonna say the whole
exactly.
truth.
You think
that's
what's
gonna
happen?
She's a rich bitch.
So I think what they're setting up is that. Edith thinks she's going to say that something, and that's why she says all those horrible things, but I don't think Mary's going to say anything.
Interesting.
I don't think Mary's going to tell.
Well,
even though the whole Pamuk thing, and she had, and let's face it, Edith did a horrible thing that almost derailed Mary's life.
Right.
Yes.
And she, you know, if you want to believe in retribution,
she did it. She just got intercepted.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It almost derailed.
Yeah. Oh, well, I thought you said almost.
No. She did it, but it almost derailed Mary's life. And if you want to believe in retribution, then yeah, I guess turnabout's fair play, and she has every right to do it. I don't.
But that wouldn't
prescribe
fit Mary's
that.
Path.
Nobody sitting at this table believes in
no.
that.
No, but I just don't think Mary will. I don't think Mary will. I think at this point she'll realize no, because I think at some point she's going to realize that that took a lot for Edith to do and to maintain and to keep as her own daughter. And I think she'll see the courage in that. And I don't think she's going to give up that.
You know, it's so interesting because we get both sides of actually every color of the spectrum with these two women.
Right.
And, you know, that Mary is irredeemable.
Yeah.
That, you know, Edith is irredeemable in, you know, and the whole spectrum. And people
sisters.
Give, right. And people give really compelling
Dames.
Comments. Thomas is irredeemable.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
You know, and then they give really great support to you guys.
Each argument.
Yes.
Give great support to your arguments. And but I like this idea that Mary kind of has a little crack in her heart and may actually have some compassion. And
oh, she'll want to. Yeah. But I think, I just don't think she will. But for not just for Edith's sake, but I'm sure that'll bring scandal upon the family and all that stuff. But I think that at the end of the day, she won't do it because it will cause, it's the only possibility for Edith's happiness that she sees, and she won't run around.
Well, but the other thing is that are you condemning Marigold to a terrible life if you start letting
she's
it out?
She's just a ward. Who cares?
Oh, my God.
Well, maybe Edith will bring it up, like, later in life, once you've been married for a while, and she starts to look just like her.
So do you think she'll say everything
to
him or
him?
No? Before she says yes. The whole thing, like, okay, the reason why I couldn't say yes before is because of this, and if you're still, after this, you still want to get married, we will. Or do you think she won't because she doesn't have the courage to do
okay,
it?
With one episode left before the Christmas special, I think that she will tell him before they get married.
Yeah.
They will briefly break up, and by the end of the episode, they will be engaged.
And make it all sweet.
Or they won't be engaged until the Christmas episode. They may hold that.
But there has to be a wedding.
I know, they'll
the
have a wedding. But it'll.
In 2 hours, you can get from an engagement.
Sure, yeah, I think you can. But that way, we'll have that suspense about will they get back together or not.
I'll drink to that.
So, but I agree with Tam on that. That was my thought as well.
I
what do you think? I think she will tell him. I think he'll freak out a little bit.
I think she definitely has to tell him. I think it would be uncharacteristic of the times if he doesn't freak out a little bit.
Yeah, he'll have to freak out.
And so I feel like he has to freak out. And,
agreed. But I mean, remember, when he saw Marigold sleeping in the room, he said, God bless you, Marigold.
Oh, so sure, but that's because
that ain't his. He doesn't have to deal with
that's
that.
That's some other man's some other, love child.
That's not, oh, my beautiful, precious Edith, who I think is a virgin spinster, has slutted it up and had a baby. Like,
exactly.
That's a different perception.
But if you look at it from even a larger perspective, you know, poor Edith was in love.
Sure.
You know, accidents happen.
Yeah.
And the father of her baby, the man she loved, died nobly.
Right.
You know, fighting the brown shirts and having, you know, having a tragic death. And then Edith also acting nobly rescued the child.
So he'll come to terms.
Yeah, I think he'll come to terms with that. He'll realize that. But it's going to be a huge shock. And the betrayal of not telling me ahead of time and how many times I thought we trusted each other. I mean, all that
of
stuff.
Of course,
he's got to get over all that.
Like, right. Like they do in like minute three and then minute 15 in a sitcom.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. You're exactly. Like, suddenly it all works
crazy.
Out.
Now, that being said, I could absolutely see her not saying anything and having the wedding being going on, and he learns just before
the
wedding.
It's like,
by the way. Ooh. Okay, I have a crackpot prediction from Gator 555 that there's something not right in the head about Marigold, so to speak. We've seen her actually smile once when Mrs. Drew was talking to her. Other than that, they treat her like a prop. Just watch the way they carried her around when she was abducted. She was nonplussed through the whole thing. I predict she's going to end up in an asylum somewhere with Mrs. Carson's sister.
Okay.
Not Elise. Elsie's sister. The controversy that gives Birdie pause won't just be that she's a bastard. It will be that she is a dark family secret.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Nice.
So there
you
go, right?
We'll way to go, Gator, reaching into the recesses.
Right? See, people think about these things.
All right.
Well, maybe that's what actually happens is that, like, they are going to do, like, a shotgun wedding all quick, and nobody knows, and Mary somehow, he overhears Mary talking about the baby.
Moments before walking down the aisle.
And Edith thinks that she did it on purpose, and she didn't, and then they have this whole altercation, and it ends, and then by the so that's how we end next week, and then the finale is somehow
them, coming to their senses for
figuring that out. For
a
real
like
wedding.
I don't
care. I want you.
Because she's like,
everything that comes with you.
Even your
child. Slowly touching the hedgehog.
But truly, I mean, I think that's an interesting prediction, depending on how large they want to make it. But she doesn't ever speak, and she has kind of that.
Yeah, we don't really hear about the other kids don't really speak either, so it's not like we know about
but
the
they call grandma Donk.
Yeah, we've gotten more like animated activity from them.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. Uncle Julian will let us know when he wants us to know. This is my...
And sometimes not.
And sometimes
all right,
not.
So,
hello, Green.
Yeah, thank you. Let's move on to Violet.
Or even worse, Coil.
Or Coil.
I thought this was nice. Violet is trying like crazy to get over her ousting. She's licking her wounds and she has to leave the country to do
she's
so.
She's going to go to France.
How are things in my former kingdom?
And I like that she says, when I get angry, I say things that people have difficult times
forgiving.
And the fact
she's
that she even...
She's self-awareness of herself.
She's aware.
Yeah.
The fact that she even agreed or revealed that she was angry, I thought was kind of big of
it
her.
It was big of her,
And
she fought the good fight and she lost.
That scene between, all of the scenes, but especially that first scene between Violet and Isabel was back to like, we're buddies again, right?
It was so good.
And I love that. And then, really.
Talking about Crookshank. And
not only buddies again, but she's going to go and do a song for
her. She's going to do it. Yeah, I'm going to find out what's going on over here.
Leave it to me. Tough nut to crack. I'm a tough nut crack.
Yep. There you go.
It's great. It's a great, great line.
So, and then let's go to Crookshank. So we see her. And I thought it was great that, yes, last episode, obviously Violet had a lot on her mind, but when Crookshank was running the number like, I'm trying to be all friendly and stuff, I think she sensed something then. It seemed like she did, and it wasn't just because she was preoccupied with the whole hospital thing. I think she sensed something. She even mentioned it to Isabel when they were talking.
Violet is a super smart cookie.
Yeah.
She always has been. Yeah. She's always... I mean, we've talked about it in past series, how she can see the scheming behind the scheming
it's
in
because
people.
Because once you've done it, you can see it.
Exactly.
She's
done them all.
She's the queen.
She's a tough nut cracker. Yes.
And I thought it was interesting when they when she goes to meet, she doesn't announce herself ahead of time. She just shows up, which is great. Put her off.
Sends people running.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Puts her off for a game.
Yep.
And, you know, the friendliness of Cruikshank was already immediately
gone. Nobody's always friendly.
Right. And even, there's that, too. But Cruikshank was, knew something was up, and she wasn't as friendly this time. And then so, and she just picks it apart. She prosecutes the whole conversation, and, you know, she realizes what's
so
up.
So, basically.
You just want Lord Merton out of your way.
A nurse.
Going to spoil your fun.
Yes. Which is a side note why I don't think Edith is going to end up married. Because I feel like the wedding is actually Lord Merton
and Isabel.
And Isabel and Edith and going to end as poor, poor Edith.
No! No, that's a good, that's really interesting. That's a, I think that's a good theory. But I'm going to, would we be as excited about that wedding as we would be about Edith? What do we think?
I mean, I wouldn't, mm-hmm. personally, because mm-hmm. I think it would be much more attractive if it's Edith's wedding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I want to see that. Yeah. But I could see them making
a Because we've already seen one Edith's wedding. We don't need to see another.
Exactly. It's already happened. And she's sort of, like, put herself in a position where she's almost doomed to be unhappy because she's got this baby and mm-hmm. he's got to accept it. So it would make sense. Because why else is this whole Cruikshank thing? Like, who cares about Lord Merton, really? Right. Like, why is all this even a thing right now? Is he really going to just leave that hanging out there?
That's a good argument. Why bring this back into the
fore?
Why introduce Cruikshank if we're not going to follow
this? And Isabel's entertaining it. Like, she's not like, oh, no, I would not. She's just uncomfortable. Yes, like, she's entertaining the whole thing.
And Violet even says your decision's even harder now because before you didn't want to come between son and father, and now between his isolation and being thrown to the wolf.
Yeah,
exactly.
So why is this an issue?
Okay. Violet, my favorite line of Violet's from that moment was, I feel sorry for Larry if I didn't dislike you so much.
I thought it was I disliked him so much.
Him. It says him right here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. But she clearly does not like Cruikshank either because, we're going to run into each other. No, not unless
I see you first. And I expect I'll have to drag you out with your fingernails catching on the door case. That is a visual isn't it?
Combo.
And Cruikshank was just a little out of relief. She's trying to hold her own by saying, I think we should end that here because the next thing you say might be awkward the next time we meet. I mean, I thought it was almost. You're getting there. Mm-hmm. You're getting there.
You're close. You'll be that.
You are messing with
years.
The master, my friend.
Yeah, you are with the master. Don't mess with the master.
And that was fun to see. And was it a surprise that she took off? It was kind of a surprise. Like, where are they going with this? Why is Uncle Julian?
I think she's
going
to die.
You think she's going to die?
That's my death prediction of the week.
Thank you.
Courtney. I think she's going to die away somewhere.
Let's
so
check
we don't
that off the box.
It.
Courtney's made her death prediction this week. We can move on.
That's immediately what I thought as soon as she started talking about, I'm going to go on the boat and I'm going to go hang out in France with the French and, that'll make me miss home.
Does anybody know the historical reference to the Paris and did it sink?
Oh, you
did?
No, it didn't sink as far as I could tell. I did look it up, but I did not find anything. Well, I mean, I said to you, what is this a Valhalla moment for Violet?
No.
Is she going off into the sunset?
I don't know. I mean, it's either that or they she's got contractual obligations elsewhere.
That was your answer, right?
It was. I was like, no, I don't think they're going to kill her off. I want to see her at the end. I want to see her for the finale. I want her to be as part of that Christmas
thing. I want Violet to have the last freaking snarky comment.
What is the weekend kind of moment?
Exactly.
Yeah. Or it's like, how long can I endure? something about how long she's lived. But so I think, maybe she won't be there for the next episode, just so we can have a nice, fun moment when they bring her back for the Christmas thing. That's what
back.
I think. It's like, what, really? I don't kill her off.
I don't think you can kill her. I don't think you can kill her.
I mean, rights, she should be dead already.
She should be dead already.
By natural cause.
Exactly. But
she's
removing
herself from the situation.
But that would
be
tragic, and it would be extremely dramatic.
And then she gave him a puppy at the end of the episode.
I know.
People,
exactly.
Come on. She's going to die.
One life dies.
She's going to die.
Yeah. It could be.
Sorry, guys.
Courtney.
She's going to die.
Or
maybe she'll
make
it
Grim
back.
Reaper from now
she
on.
Might be sick and come back and get to see Isabel get married. Isabel get married. And she'll be like, I give you my blessing. And they'll have a great old lady moment at the end.
Really
sweet.
viewer Imogen sent me an email and basically said that giving the puppy was really manipulative by Violet.
It is.
Of course. Yeah, but that's what she is.
Oh, come on, you guys!
Well, it wasn't genuine kindness.
I think, yeah, there was some genuine kindness. I think she really loves her son and everything like that. I mean, she would know that this would... You know, he just almost died. This would be a reason to help him live. So, I mean, because he loves his dogs.
But so, she's probably hoping they'll feel guilty every time they look at the dog.
Exactly. Of course. Yeah, I don't know that she does anything with absolutely pure intent.
All right. You guys are fine. But I just want to say that was one of my crying moments of this episode.
It was wonderful.
Because, you know, John always thinks about everything. I'm like the perfect audience for anybody. Because I just wait for the information to come to me. And, you know, if I'm given enough time, I'll think about it. But basically, it was like, what is the present? What could the present be that they can't bring upstairs? What could the present? And, you know, I thought it was like some dopey farm animal. A new pig for the pen! You know, it didn't even occur to me that it would be a puppy. I don't know why, because I'm... Because
you don't think about it. You just let it happen.
I'm a dopey viewer, because I love to let things be revealed to me. I'd prefer that as opposed to figuring it out.
You like the surprise.
Yes. And, you know... His face when I just went pew, like tears just went like,
and they were like, we don't want to bring him up to the living room, and he picks him up, he's like, oh, I don't care about that, and all I can think is that's because you're not a servant, and if he pees all over the place, they're the ones cleaning it up.
Let the puppy pee on the rug.
Off of all of those draperies and everything else. Yeah, exactly. Goodness gracious.
Of course you don't care.
You don't care at all.
Yeah. Why would you care?
But it was a wonderfully joyful moment. We needed something. We
love
need some levity. We already had a death. We needed something.
Yes. Who doesn't love a puppy?
Who doesn't love a puppy? If you don't, you're soulless.
Exactly.
The second wife to Amenhotep.
Amenhotep the second.
Oh, all right, so we get keep the Egyptian thing going. So that's nice.
Keep it going.
Okay, but now the other.
Oh, good gracious, we gotta go.
I know we have a lot to cover. So the other things that I thought were wonderful. I loved the Mosley thing.
Heavy dancing.
Oh my god!
I literally said yay Mosley.
Yeah, he gets his thing. I mean, this is after we'll get to the little picnic they had, but just wanted that moment. When Mr. Dawes comes in and he says how, you know...
And he laid it on thick.
Oh, it was great.
Smarter than the Oxford graduates.
Oxford and Cambridge are smarter than you.
I am impressed with you.
Yeah, you should be proud of yourself.
Yes.
But the reaction, I just love the reaction that he took. Great job acting on it. When he turned away and you're wiping his tear and everything. He's not sharing that. It's just...
It was so good.
I mean, imagine. Yeah. He's lived his whole life in service, thinking he was, you know, not articulating like Andy did, that he was stupid. Uh-huh. But you know, I mean, that he's been, third, fourth class.
And what he said to Daisy, that he knew that he'd never get to be a butler in a place like this.
Yeah,
he had always aspired to. He was Isabel's, and I mean, the whole thing, and he always wanted it, got knocked down to footman again. Yeah.
And can't you imagine that this is 10 times more important to him than being a butler?
Of course. Yeah.
Is being,
validated.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Just for who you are and what you know, your general knowledge. That's like your basis for everything.
Yeah. And what you care about and what you actually would be doing with your life had you had a better choice.
And, I also liked... that, you know, last week when he so wanted to be the docent and talk about pictures and stuff, and he didn't have that moment, but he got this moment.
Yeah.
So that was nice.
Appreciated that.
And then coming up, so he's like, oh, of course, yeah. Yeah. Because somebody's going to find out, and they're just going to just deride him. Like
right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Bash him down, put him back down in his place. Service is ending for most of us. I've just got a head start.
Yeah. Yes.
And then
he's the character that you want him to get a head start.
To get something.
I mean, he's been noble. He's been, you know,
and he got beat down pretty well. What was it? 2 seasons ago? Was that last season when he was like paving the street and couldn't get a job? Yeah, like, yeah.
I've never thought of myself, or I never think that I deserve anything. Perhaps I'm normal after all.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he said, well, is that what it was? I thought it was perhaps I'm wrong. Whatever. It's
Same sentiment. It is,
But it was just a terrific moment. And then we also, in that same kind of sequence with it, when they do the picnic and Beryl brings the lemonade and stuff like that, and they're all talking about Daisy and her tests, and then Andy reveals he can't read. Finally, which is good. I'm glad.
Yeah, it needed to come out.
Dawes says, well, I can teach you, but Thomas, you need to step back now. And I'm just going, geez, he's just getting the crap kicked out of
him. Push him away.
Yeah.
Push him away.
You know,
push them away.
With Carson earlier in the episode saying, you know, look, I'll be happy when I find out your new employer, all that kind of stuff. And even, you know, Mrs. Hughes having that nice moment with, sorry, Mrs. Carson now.
Mrs. Carson.
Has that nice moment with him saying, look, you'll find something, you'll find the right place.
And he was like, the right person that you can be friends
here.
With.
Yeah.
And he realized there are no roots. I mean, because the one good thing he was doing was with Andy trying to help him read, and boom,
it didn't matter.
Didn't matter, because that's going to get taken away now. Too. Sad. Which just makes me think, yeah, it's going to be him. Either he's going to off himself, or he's just going to leave without saying anything to anybody, and people are just going to go, what happened? What did we do? What drove him up? And I think that's what's going to happen.
But also, nobody would care if he left.
Also,
I think they would care that they might have done something that caused. I think that after he was gone, they would have said, we should have taken more time.
Predictions also that Andy will save Thomas.
Interesting. I like that. That's great. That's nice. That'll be a good moment for them both.
But I mean, think about it. It was just last season that he was injecting himself with that poison and trying to change himself.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, there's been some more, but, you know, other viewers reminded me how
vile,
wretched, and vile. Yeah.
And interesting coming up with Pat Moore in the B&B. So she's doing a great job there. Everything seems to be
going
great. Some guy hanging outside with a camera and a notebook. It's like, what?
Okay, I got a prediction.
What the hell is that?
It's that, oh gosh, I'm going to see if I can try and find out who it is. But anyway, but it's somebody who said that Pat Moore's place is a love shack. That people are going and hooking up with prostitutes. Here we go. Imogen.
Oh, goodness.
If Mrs. Patmore's B&B is attracting prostitutes and people looking to have extramarital affairs in a low-key environment.
Well, that would make sense because in the preview, wasn't she like having to like fess up that it was her fault or something?
Because there was a local brouhaha that
Carson
didn't want to get the family.
Her
enmeshed
niece.
In.
Right,
her,
so there's a guy
the
with
place.
A notepad and a camera.
Mm-hmm. That's a private detective or something of that nature.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. And that could be
business.
A great.
Nasty business.
I think that's a great prediction.
I think it's terrific. I think that sounds fabulous. Lastly, before we get into anything, it's Hughes and Carson. Finally, we get the turnabout.
Yay!
Finally, she turns on him. So
he
we get
literally day. Falls asleep at dinner
oh,
from exhaustion.
Yeah, great.
I was going to have a heart attack.
Yeah, I like the sweat. He's sweating and everything and burning himself and everything. She's just loving it.
I loved it, too.
Yeah, and that would have been so hard for her, but just sit there and go, oh, and the bread's in the outside ice chest or whatever it was.
Put the crumble in the oven.
Don't forget the crumble. Well, this is a delicious crumble.
She was eating a lot more than just dinner.
In the water.
Eating it up. So
good. It was about time.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to find out? Or do you think he'll just be more appreciative from now on?
I think he's going to be more appreciative.
We'll find out how that plays out.
You know, we predicted or said that was out of character for Carson to be so critical of her, and a couple of fans agreed with that. So, I'm glad it's back.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if it was so critical of her. What surprised me is that he was so not aware of her reaction.
Yes.
That's the thing I was talking about.
That
seemed out of character to me, not so much, because he is critical,
and
that's
critical,
his job.
But he would catch it.
Right. That's that, and that he wouldn't be so persistent in it and didn't recognize the feedback he was getting that part was the part that was really surprising to me. We got a couple of things.
Mary, we have a very contrary daughter.
Very
good conversation with them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Daisy. Daisy and Pat Moore and Mary had their moment.
They did have their
moment.
She
said she hasn't had anything to herself.
Sorry about that.
So.
Right. She was so rude last episode that we could hardly forgive her. But then when she pointed out that, you know, she's hardly had anything of her own.
She thinks she can't share him because, you know,
she literally thinks that love is fine. Anything.
All right, fine. We'll give it to you, Daisy.
We'll give it to you.
The hats, the dresses.
Yeah. The hats.
Cora not wearing, like, boring clothes. She wore that coral color. We loved
she
that.
She did wear color because she's been kind of boring in her clothes.
Oh, is that right?
Pajamas were beautiful.
They were.
Dresses have been a little drab.
Okay.
Yeah.
But all of their hats were great, especially when they came back from the track and all of that.
Oh,
and they
coming
came
home.
To the house.
Everybody
they looked great. And
everybody
those
so
hats
beautiful.
Were fantastic.
Yeah, the hats. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so we do some news and gossip?
Yeah, quickly. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Fans of Lady Mary are disappointed after Michelle Dockery withdrew from a revival of help me out with this one. Les Liaisons Dangereuses.
I don't know.
Dangerous Liaisons. That was set to open in London's West End in 6 weeks. No explanation has been given for her exit from the show, with speculation being that it was just a scheduling conflict, not anything more, you know, rough than that. Yeah. Elaine Cassidy will be taking up the role of Madame de Tourvel in the production. Lily James, a.k.a. Rose Aldridge, a.k.a. Cinderella, has been confirmed to return to Downton Abbey.
We're going to have her.
And rumors abound that she, Rose, is pregnant.
Is the baby going to die?
Maybe.
She said she said it was amazing going back after a break. You were just totally re-inspired by the wonder of it. That grand house against the gray skies and all the friends you haven't seen in so long. And then she talked about how I don't know if I would be sitting here if it weren't for Downton Abbey, because it really changed her life. I mean, it changed most of those actors' lives.
Yeah.
Great interview with
Maggie Smith.
Person. Maggie Smith.
Yeah.
It really changed
now
her
we know
life.
Who she is.
Because
you know?
Before then, she was.
Who was she?
Great interview on YouTube that I'll tweet out later, where she is talking about The Lady in the Van.
Sure.
But how her she has a movie. Whole new, thank you, her whole new fan base that are quite short people. You know her. Mostly
from Harry Potter.
Yeah. And now all these other people who are appreciating her.
She stays away from the Americans. She doesn't go anywhere.
No, let's stay away from
her. Because we're great.
Because we're not shy.
Yeah.
Apparently,
we're not.
Yes.
We're bold.
Okay, thank yous. And shout outs. Rachel, Nicole, Tyler, Gator, Annabali, Drake, Bartles27, a.k.a. Pip Spiller, a.k.a. Rick on YouTube.
Wow.
CK Groupie, Melissa Heisler, Katie Bailey, Catherine Smith, Jackie, happy birthday 1 week late. Imogen and Kathleen. Raceler, thank you.
Thank you, thank you guys.
Thank you
all
so
your tweets
much.
And everything are awesome.
Yeah.
What are we expecting for the final show before the Christmas episode?
Okay, first of all, tears.
Tears.
Yeah.
They're going to pile it on.
Yeah.
It's going to be
because the Christmas one is
going to
be really tearful, but good tearful and warm and
yeah. Christmas special
fuzzy.
Is going to be 2 hours,
absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
We can hope. And so we've got 1 hour now.
Yeah.
You know, there's some talk about, and I kind of agree with it, that there's, he's sort of stacking things up to try and solve a lot of problems all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't even address the green thing.
Because
we're too pissed about it.
And is he
going to
do anything about the Baxter thing?
Coyle? Are we, yes, can we, is Coyle anything? Like, why is this happening?
Yeah, so. All right.
I don't even know. There are things that we didn't even get to cover today.
No,
and
there's a lot to cover. We've got somebody else coming in the studio.
We do.
All right, but they'll finish the Baxter thing next week, I'm guessing. She'll go see him, whatever. And then
see if she still has a hold
exactly.
on her, whatever the hell that means.
Exactly.
I predict an excellent cliffhanger.
Next week's episode.
But it better not have anything to do with Green, because I'm over it, Julian. Don't even try.
Green and Coyle are the same person.
He's
not really dead.
Don't care.
Nice.
Cheers.
All right, that's it. We got to go. So tell them where they can find you.
You can find me on social media at Stuart Starlet.
I am at Tamara Berg on Twitter, and Tamara Central is my website. You guys, thank you.
You can only find me here. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks again for tuning in. Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.